have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Lady Michelle Austin. I know what you've been through, you've been through. Don't think that it's only you. Only you, yeah. Pick your head up, get up, it's only right, take back your life. Pick your head up, get up, take back your life, and come and talk to me. Speak your peace, speak your peace, speak your peace, come and talk to me. Talk to me. Speak your peace. Speak your peace. Out your mouth. Hey, speak your peace. Come and talk to me. Speak your peace. Speak your peace. Speak your peace. I know that you're in pain. You gotta love yourself enough to make the change. Yeah. Speak into your eyes. Take back your life, pick your head up, get up, take back your life, and come and talk to me. Speak your peace, speak your peace, speak your peace, come and talk to me. Speak your peace, speak your peace, out loud. Speak your peace, come and talk to me. Speak your peace, speak your peace, out your mouth. Hey, speak your peace, come and talk to me.
Hello, Thriver Nation. How is everyone tonight? Woo, 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 woo. I'm so excited to be here with you guys for another show. I love it. I'm so grateful every time I can come to this podcast to share with each of you. And you are of course, what are you doing? You're listening to the Speak Your Peace podcast with Lady Michelle, and I am your host, Lady Michelle. So welcome, welcome, welcome to another one of our virtual safe zones, and we have some great stuff for you tonight. As you know, this platform is centered around education of domestic violence, toxic relationships, the different forms of trauma, some self-love, finding your voice. We talk about all those things on this show and on this platform. And always remember that Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle was designed with each of you in mind. And we designed this show to enlighten you, to educate you, to inspire and empower you. I always, y'all know, right after I do that, you know, I got to get all those things out. And then here comes the part that we must say every time is our disclaimer. We got to get that disclaimer in there. And the disclaimer is that I want you to remember we will never conduct any therapy sessions on this show. We do always encourage you to seek professional help. This is for information purposes only on this show, everything that we give you. And so if you ever think that you're in need of some help, some medical help, or any kind of therapy help, please, please, please seek your professionals. Please call 911 immediately, okay? So I just wanted to get that disclaimer out. And, you know, one of my goals for this particular podcast is Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle. Is really to help my listeners to create and to live a more integrated and deeply satisfying life and to live it really as a whole person. You know, a lot of times I know we talk about topics that have to do with trauma, but we really want to talk about everything. We want to share tips and techniques to help you to create more balance in your lives and to really, really show up as that whole person. And so tonight's topic, while it is a little heavy, it's a lot heavy. Let me say that. It's a lot heavy. And I certainly do want to say this before we even get started, is that check on yourself. If you feel like from the things that we talk about tonight, if you feel that any of these things bring up some triggers in you, it you know, brings up some old emotions, some things that are just too heavy for you, make sure that you check on yourself and you remove yourself if you feel like you need to do that. So I'm going to introduce my guest. And this topic that we're talking about tonight is about sibling abuse. And this is a particular topic that a lot of people don't really know much about. And so we really wanted to bring that to everyone, and we wanted to talk about it. And this person, she has gone through some things, and she is really the epitome of what we represent on this platform. She has shown strength and courage, and she has gone from victim to survivor to thriver. So I just want to introduce our guest tonight. Everyone, help me on Thriver Nation, help me to welcome Caitlin. Hi, Caitlin.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. I'm so happy that you could be here with us tonight, and I know that you have experienced some things that you've gone through. And so we're going to give you an opportunity to talk tonight and to really tell the guests, tell the listeners, some of the things and that you experienced, and just really kind of help walk us through, you know, what sibling abuse is all about. So I'll let you get started, and then I have some things and some stats and some different things to talk about. But let you get started. Is there anything you want to talk about in the beginning before I start asking you questions? Is there something that you may want to open up and just let them know what sibling abuse is really about? Or do you want me to start with the questions?
Let's go ahead and start with the questions. If there's anything that I want to add in there, I will go ahead and do that.
All right. Okay. Well, we can do that. We can do that. So just give me 1 second here. Just 1 second. I'm going to okay. So when I think about and I was doing some research and trying to get what this exactly was about, because a lot of times we just think of sibling rivalry, right? And what I was trying to do is say, what exactly is sibling abuse? And I know it's really a hidden thing. And it's something that a lot of parents don't see, a lot of adults don't see it. And so they might even think it's like horseplay, or they might even say it's, you know, again, like I said, sibling rivalry. But we know that it can be abusive, it can be physical, it can be emotional, it could be all of the things, verbal, all of those things, right? And so I'm going to start I'm going to start the first question by asking you, when you were going through all of this, what is some of the ways that your family and friends could have helped you or assisted you?
Well, for my specific situation, everybody knew that for years that my sister wasn't quite right, that we didn't necessarily get along. And especially in our household, I mean, even our parents, we essentially walked on eggshells 24/7 because sometimes she would just go off the handle. She would be so angry. And so that's honestly all my parents thought it was. My friends at school knew that something was going on because where it had been going on for so long, I think around eighth grade, so about a year before I finally said something, I had actually, I had tried everything other than telling somebody. Which I know that this might be triggering for some people, I had self-harmed. And I had made a point to show my friends, and which that sounds so bad and that I was attention-seeking, but it was more than that. It was that I needed somebody to push me into asking why I would do that, what was going on. My friends essentially just kind of, not that they dropped the ball, I mean, they couldn't have known. One at church actually did know everything that was going on. I had told her, and she didn't tell anybody because I had, of course, requested her to not. My family did all that they knew that they could. They did all that they could just because they thought that it was just regular fear, because even they lived in fear of what she was and just setting her off. But I'm not, I don't think that fully answers your question. My family was phenomenal. My friends, I didn't really have the greatest support system there. Even to this day, family kind of is my backbone over friends, but.
Okay. Well, I think too, and one of the things that probably is has a lot to do with it is a lot of people don't know what this is. And so maybe friends didn't really know how to help you because this is something that's not really talked about. And again, like I was saying earlier, and I seem to have found that in everything that I was trying to do research with, is that a lot of people look at it as just sibling rivalry. It's nothing to get excited about. It's nothing. It's normal. That's what sisters do. That's what sisters and brothers do. That's, you know, and so they may not have seen the urgency and may not have thought that there was something really bad going on other than just regular sisters and brothers not getting along.
Absolutely. I mean, in church, I mean, there was one time that she actually pinned me in between two wooden doors and pressed on one. And so there was a wooden door pressing down on my chest. Mm-hmm. And I went and told my mom, and she essentially was like, I mean, she got on to my sister and said that, you know, you shouldn't do that. But everything that everybody saw on the outside, it just looked like, oh, well, they're just two sisters. They have their good days. They have their bad days. Obviously, the big sister's a little bit pushy, and she can be a little bit mean at times. But what older sibling can't?
Right.
I was going to say, what went on behind closed doors is something that even my parents, it's something that you think about in your nightmares, not that that could actually be happening to your child.
Gotcha. Wow. That's very interesting. I remember, because my daughters are 6 years apart, and I just really remember when they were growing up, my oldest daughter, she, you know, was a little mean to her little baby sister because she was already 6 years older than her, and they were never, ever really on the same level in terms of growing up and being in grade school, and then one would be in junior high, then high and all that, right? And so, but I remember her being mean to her, and I would really fuss at her, and I was getting on her case like, no, this is not how you're supposed to treat your sister. And I didn't even know about sibling abuse, but I just knew that it just didn't feel right to me. And I guess maybe that's because I'm an only child, and so I didn't understand either that sometimes sisters and brothers you know, argue and fight or whatever. So, yeah, but I just remember it being, it just looked bad to me, and I was really mad. Like, no, you're not going to treat her like that. You know, you need to be nicer to her, and you know, sometimes that's not looked at like that. It's just looked at like that's pretty normal. So the next question that I would want to ask you is about the teachers, because I know we just talked about how the family and friends have helped you. But when we talk about the teachers, that was a whole other dynamic. When you went to school, was there some changes, you know, were you like a straight A student that then went to, you know, all D's or something like that because of the different things that were going on in your life, and it began to come out in your schooling and your education?
I actually did manage to keep my grades up. I was going to say, and that is only because of my mother, that she fought in order to get me a 504 plan, because I went from an eighth grader that was reading at a college level, that I was straight A's, everything came naturally, I excelled in anything that I put my mind to in ninth grade, when I finally told my godfather and my sister was removed from the home and all of that happened. I was put on homebound for a while, and I went from a college level reader to I could barely grasp anything that I read. And for math especially, I went from doing really well to just really struggling. It didn't matter what I did. I had so many hours of tutoring with my ninth and 10th grade math teacher that she was phenomenal. She honored my 504, and she, other than just honoring my 504, I mean, I went over there some days and I couldn't understand the math that we were doing at all. And she would sit there for however long it took and walk me through it, teach it to me, and then end up having to do it again. Because I would go home, I would go to sleep, we would have a quiz that day, and I would go in and I would look at it and it was just all gone. It's like somebody had just written it all with a dry erase marker and then erased it when I went to sleep. And as a teacher, I'm sure that that seemed really silly. I mean, I know that if I was a teacher, if a student, if I had spent an hour and a half teaching them this and they had it, they were perfect, and then they came in the next day and said that they didn't remember any of it, it's just hard to believe. Had I not lived it, I wouldn't really be inclined to believe it myself. But she was phenomenal. For my ninth grade English teacher, close to the same thing. I mean, I did eventually learn to read and comprehend again. It took a while. But for the worksheets that she had us doing, it was like subject, verb, you know, essentially kind of like elementary labeling words, that I actually ended up just being fully exempt from because I couldn't do it. Now, I could write all day long, and it was perfect. But just for those worksheets, I could not wrap my head around how to do them at all. And she actually just came to my mom one day and was like, hey, I know she knows how to write. It's like, if I asked her to write complete sentences, she can do that all day. But she is not going to get these worksheets, and it doesn't matter how hard we try, she's just not getting it. So instead of stressing her out and making her cry, let's just get rid of it.
Wow, that is amazing that they were able to work through that and figure out how to assist you, how to help you, how to get you back on the level that you needed to be on and even further. So I love that.
All of them were not like that. I was going to say the vast majority of them were sympathetic to my situation. I mean, my sister and I went to the same school. They all had my sister prior to having me. And one of them, he was actually the driver's ed teacher. When I got a service dog and I went to take driver's ed, he thought that I was going to have a panic attack and wreck the car, or that if I got anxious that my dog was going to jump out of the back seat and bite him. Like, my mom had to fight with the principal and the teacher because he just didn't want me in that class at all.
Wow. Wow. And that goes to when people are ignorant to the fact of why you would even need that service dog. And that is really my next question I was going to say. I know that you have the service dog, and I know that oftentimes people think that only those who have gone through PTSD within the military, you know, would really need this kind of dog. But you had to get this dog, and this dog helped you through your life, your changing of your life, and up to now. So I want you to just tell the Thriver Nation all about that process and that experience and what happened.
Well, I live in the state of West Virginia, and so when everything happened, my mom called the police, and it was reported as a crime, and so we actually got my service dog through West Virginia Crime Victims Advocate. They ended up paying for the dog completely. She's actually the first service dog that the state of West Virginia has purchased. I think probably the last, too. But due to the nature of the crime, I completely shut down. After everything came out, I went from fully functioning, even though I had been being abused for years. I was straight A student. I had a group of friends. I was social. I was fine. And then everything happened, and I was on homebound. I didn't go out to the store. I didn't go to church. I didn't go anywhere because I just couldn't. And so my mom, again, pushed to get a service dog. And so we actually went down to Arizona, and we got her. And my mom can speak on, I went from a different person. The trainer saw it, too, as soon as I met Minnie, who is my service dog. It's like something lit up again. She truly gave me my life back. And while service dogs are definitely not for everybody, especially if you have anxiety because they bring a lot of attention, in my case, she's exactly what I needed because otherwise I wouldn't be able to work a full-time job today. I wouldn't have gone to college. I would not have gone back to high school. I know that for certain. She was truly a lifesaver.
Wow. So shout out to Minnie. Yay, we are happy for Minnie coming into your life and really helping you through this horrific time that you went through. I tell you, this is amazing. When I think about all of the things that happened with sibling abuse, I found some of the stats, and a study of 272 high school students found that 60% of them reported experiencing sibling abuse. That is a high number. 60%.
Well, and in my situation, In the county that I'm in, they actually wouldn't do anything. Looking back, I mean, I know that I got my life back and everything, but there are days that I wonder if I should have said anything. I mean, they essentially said to my mom, because luckily I didn't have to have any of those wonderful conversations with that officer, that they could charge my parents with neglect, or they could charge my sister and I both with incest, even though there had been a private investigation that they said that they believed me 100% that what happened truly did happen, but just essentially that there was nothing that they could do where we were both minors and the age gap was only 2 years. I was going to say, and for sibling abuse like that, I mean, I know that you know my mom, but everybody else that's listening, it was much more than that. It was attempted murder as well as sexual abuse and physical abuse that went on for years, that we had physical evidence from my doctor that was willing to testify, as well as the attempted murder. We had, everybody could look back and remember when I had those marks, and I hid them well and I covered them up well, but looking back, everybody said without a doubt that that is what happened there. The timelines all matched up.
Wow. Wow. And so when you're saying this, when you're saying the things that she did to you, this goes beyond kicking and punching and, you know, maybe throwing a little something at your sibling. This gets serious when you, when this is severely an excessive sexual abuse and trying to harm you to a point where you, you know, would not be here anymore. That's a whole different thing. That's really when it gets into the abusive part. I know that you have siblings who, you know, they do have the normal, you get on my nerves, you don't take my shirt anymore, or, you know, fussing or anything like that. But this is more serious. This is where we get into the abusive part of it, and it has to be stopped. And we have to bring awareness. And that's really why I wanted to have you on tonight, is to bring awareness to the parents that are listening, to really check into what your children are doing, and don't just blow it off like, oh, that's nothing. Oh, that's what brothers and sisters do. Or that's what two sisters do. Or that's what two brothers do. No, we've got to be a little more observant, and we have to nip it in the bud right there when it stops. Like, let's make this, have a conversation with these two siblings, and this is not acceptable, and this is not going to be allowed in this home. So that's my take on it. How do you feel about that?
I agree. In my situation, my parents actually did have that conversation with her. One day they caught her in my bed, and while nothing had happened yet, Mom pulled me aside and was like, hey, like, you know, what was going on, that you know, that you can talk to us about this, and pulled my sister aside and said that, you know, what you're doing was horribly inappropriate. But at that point, it had already been going on for so long that I remember sitting there and my mom sitting across from me, and everything in my being wanted to tell her what had been going on, that it was more than just that one incident, that it had been going on long enough that she got so confident that she could do it in broad daylight with my mom home. But at the same time thinking that I didn't want to tear my family apart. I had so many opportunities looking back to tell my mom. And I couldn't. That sounds so silly. I mean, if you're in an abusive relationship, especially with how bad it was, even after she attempted to kill me, I still didn't say anything. It wasn't until my mom was in the car with me and was talking about how we had come back from church camp and that my sister really seemed to have just turned a new leaf, that it seemed genuine this time, and that she felt she was called to children's ministry. And I sat there and I tried not to cry, and I tried to essentially like talk to my mom and be like, well, I really don't think that it is that it is genuine, that maybe that's not right. And she was like, no, we really need to try to believe the best in her. I know that she doesn't have the best track record with her anger, but that essentially we need to give her a better shot. And my mom didn't know that a week prior to that, she had abused me again. A week after we had been back from camp, she went ahead and did it again. I was going to say, because yeah, I remember going to church camp, and the whole time we were there, I was like, wow, she really seems genuine. Maybe when we get home, it will have stopped. We won't have to go through this again. That, you know, maybe she really had her coming to Jesus moment, and it was done. And then we came home and she did it again.
Wow. Oh, well, that's something. One of the things that I found is an article that's talked about how sibling abuse is considered even more frequent than spouse or child abuse by a parent. And so I heard you say that, you know, you were afraid, you didn't want to tear your family up, and how when you were talking to your mom, you know, you were sitting across from her, and how, you know, you might think that it sounds silly, but it doesn't sound silly, because this is what happens when you are in any type of abusive situation. Most times the victim doesn't want to tell because we don't want to tear up the family, or we don't want to get people in trouble, or we don't want to, you know, we don't want to hurt everybody. And so it's not silly that you're doing that. I mean, that you didn't want to tell. So I just wanted to let you know that. And anybody who's listening, because for sure, this is what happens. So that is a very understandable thing. Also, children ages 2 to 9 who were repeatedly attacked were twice as likely as others their age to show severe symptoms of trauma, anxiety, depression, certain things like sleeplessness, crying spells, thoughts of suicide, and fear of the dark. Did you experience any of those things?
I actually am still scared of the dark. I don't know if that stems from abuse or if I've just always been scared of the dark. But depression, anxiety, thoughts of suicide, absolutely. Especially when it was finally over. I mean, I was functioning, I was doing fine while being abused for all that time. I really didn't have any issues. I mean, other than after every single time, I blame myself for any time that anybody talked about how good my sister was at whatever, or that she was going to go really far in the church. I knew what she was, regardless of whether anybody else did. But when it was finally over, I don't really know why. I mean, it was a day after we had picked up Minnie. We were in Ohio. And I remember making a post on Facebook in, like, one of my PTSD groups that I just wanted to end it all. And had I had the means in a hotel room after I just went and picked up this amazing service dog, now granted I didn't know the impact that she was going to have on my life, I would have done it. And there were many moments like that where I just wanted it all to end, especially once I said something, because watching my family be torn apart, I was going to say, I still deal with a lot of guilt concerning that, even though my parents have told me over and over again that it's not my fault. I lost a lot of relationships with some of our distant family. One side of my family, I don't really have anything to do with them anymore because they believe my sister that she didn't do it. And that's something that was unavoidable, but it's still something that I feel bad for my dad, because it's his part of the family that essentially I had to cut ties and just essentially throw in the towel, because there was nothing more that I could do, and it just puts a strain there on him as well.
Wow. Oh, I tell you, this is amazing. Just listening to you and hearing so much of what we don't, again, that we don't talk about. One of the things, and I love what you're doing with what Minnie is doing for you, and how she's bringing joy to your life, and how you found out that she was there for a reason, that you needed to stay here with all of us and to continue on with Minnie, and how she has just really blessed you so much. I love it. I love it. I love it. So another shout out for Minnie. Yay! We're so happy that you have her around. One of the things that I wanted to say here, I saw some things that talked about what are some signs of sibling sexual abuse. Now, one of the things that I know a little bit about your story, I read the book, also talked to your mom, so I know some of your stuff. And a lot of the things that they were talking about when I did my research didn't necessarily happen in your family. You guys were kind of like a little bit of the, the word I'm looking for is like you weren't the norm. They talk a lot about so much dysfunction. They talk a lot about it being, you know, maybe a one-parent home. They talk about, you know, just all of the negative things. And I really didn't get that from your family dynamic, that there was, that they weren't paying attention to you guys, but that things were just hidden for so long.
For us, I mean, we have both of our parents, but for us, my sister is mentally ill. She does not have a diagnosis due to when she went to the mental health facilities after everything. She was under the age of 18, so they refused to diagnose her. But for years, she just would go off the handle over anything and everything. She would go from okay to mad at everybody when my parents weren't home. She would yell at me about stuff that my parents had done and that she was just going to move, that she was just going to do this. And when my parents were home, it was the same thing. Everybody was scared to make her mad. And so they tried to get her therapy before everything happened as well. And she is just very intelligent. And she, for the personality tests and whatever, she knew the answers that they wanted, and so she gave those answers to make it look like she was a normal, healthy teenager that just had some maybe anger issues. Outside of the home to everybody else, I mean, she would cling to people, like youth pastors, teachers, whoever, and talk about just how horrible her life was. And that for some people, she said that she was abused in the home and that I was abusive and that my parents were abusive. And these were people that knew our family. And they came to my parents, and it happened several times. They would come to my parents and say, hey, this is what she says is going on. I essentially just wanted to let you know that this is what she's claiming. I was going to say, so really we weren't the typical to anybody that was outside looking in unless you were one of the few people that she decided to cling to. For my parents, the warning signs were technically there. I mean, they look back on pictures of, like, her hugging me or whatever, and I just look terrified. And they didn't see it at the time. They just figured I didn't want to smile for a picture or whatever at the time being. You know, there are a million different reasons that a kid's not smiling in a photo. They look back on that or just times that I didn't want to be left alone with her, that I didn't want to go down to the grandparents' house, that I didn't want to go spend the night in the same bed with her at our grandparents' house. And they just wanted a date night. They just figured that I didn't want them to leave. It's not that I was boo-hooing, that I was crying, that I was scared, that I didn't want them to go. It was just that they thought I didn't want to spend the night down there. So they ended up bringing our grandparents to our house, which was a whole other thing. Really, for warning signs for that, the only thing that I can say is if your kids seem scared and you have a gut feeling that you should put up cameras in your own home, because my mom did, you just need to go ahead and do that, because she ended up not putting up cameras due to she thought it would be an invasion of privacy and whatever was going on, you know, couldn't really be that bad. And then after the fact, she blames herself still, that she didn't just go ahead and put up those cameras. That if she had, it would have been, you know, no siblings in the other one's bedroom. She would have caught it. I mean, I wish that I had more advice for warning signs, but in our situation, she was always so angry all of the time that it was hard to pinpoint a reason for any of it or a sign that was anything more than her unpredictability.
Right. Wow. Well, you have given some great information. I have some more things here because I just really wanted to make sure that I was capturing. I wanted to hear your story, your take on how it went, your way of bringing awareness. I wanted to give you that opportunity because one of the things that we know that when you have anyone who is abusing you in any type of domestic abuse, child abuse, sibling abuse, all of those different things, we know that it's really all about them having power and control over you. And so you having the opportunity to bring awareness tonight to this topic that is really very controversial, that gives you back your power and control. And so I love that you were brave enough to come on tonight and to do that. Courageous. It is just amazing, and you really need to take a bow because it takes a lot for people to come out and say that something like this has happened to them. So we thank you for being that courageous person and doing that. And we give you many, many, many hand claps.
I was going to say, I apologize. I know that it kind of just bounces all over the place, but it's so much to fit in such a little amount of time, if that makes any sense.
It's okay. You are giving us great information that we really, you know, normally people wouldn't know. I'm an only child, so I wouldn't know really what sibling abuse looks like. And so thank you for bringing the information, all that you're giving us. It doesn't matter what parts you're giving us. You can never really fit it into 1 hour. And certainly if ever you feel like you want to come back and you want to share some more things, and if you feel like it's something that you really didn't get out tonight and you want to come another time, the door is always open. The microphone is always open. So I just want you to know that. And we really appreciate you, again, like I said, really being brave and coming through and really helping others. Someone may be listening to this that has gone through some type of sibling abuse. And again, I'm not saying that, you know, sibling who takes your shirt, your blouse, and wears it to the party. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real life abusive things that that person is doing to you, your sister, your brother. It's really doing things that are harming you physically, emotionally, verbally, sexual abuse, any type of thing that is really doing harm to you. That is a problem. That is abuse, and we are not going to stand for that at all. So that's why we're bringing you awareness so you'll be able to make some changes. So, did I get enough out there? I'm trying to get it all out as well, Caitlin. I know we had two more things that I really did want to ask you, but you kind of was really talking about it, and that was really your coping mechanisms, the things that you did to help you cope through this. And I know one of them was really many, but, you know, like, were there any other things that you did, any hobbies, any, you know?
In, I think, 10th or 11th grade, maybe so, a year or so after, I took up drawing. Just one day I was in my mom's office at school, and I don't know why, because I had never been artistically inclined. I just started drawing, and I did that for a very long time. Other than drawing, when I was on Homebound especially, I played Mario Kart on the Wii with my dad. I was going to say, because I was talking to my parents prior to this, and I was like, I don't know what my coping strategies were. And he was like, Mario Kart? He's like, we played so much Mario Kart. I was going to say, kind of as an escape, I took a vacation to Kalahari with my godfather, who is actually who I told what was happening. So, I mean, not that that's an option for everybody, but at the time it was definitely needed. My mom and I, to this day, to cope with everything that has happened, we still make some very interesting parodies to different songs. I was going to say that are very inappropriate because they're about what's happened, but it's just the way that we coped with it. If we didn't laugh, we would have cried, and we don't like to cry.
Right.
So.
Well, that sounds good. I like the parodies that you guys are doing because, like you said, it has to be for you and your family. This is something that is helping you guys to cope with what has happened in your family. That's not an easy thing to happen. Your parents, thank God for them that they are there for you, they support you, and they're loving you through all of this that gives you the strength and the courage to keep going on. So we're very grateful for that you have those parents. I mean, some people are being abused by their parents, or some people don't have their parents here at all. So, you know, what a wonderful thing that you have your parents here. They are supporting you through this process. You have many, and I think you have another person in your life that, you know, has come through and is helping you through this. What's going on with that?
Well, are you referring to the fiancé, or not?
Yes.
That she's a person, but I also have a service dog in training as well.
Oh, well, tell us about both of them.
Well, I guess we'll start with the fiancé because, I mean, that one, I guess, is a little bit more important. We have been engaged for a little over a year. We get married next summer. I met him, of course, in the worst way possible, on Tinder. I was going to say, where nobody finds love, but we did. I was going to say, and he's been great through everything, because not only did I have sibling abuse, after that, my now ex-boyfriend definitely took advantage of a few situations. And so my current fiance has some even more trauma to, I was going to say, I guess kind of help process through, not that that's his job, but, I mean, concerning the types of abuse, he definitely has to deal with certain aspects. But I was going to say, he's been there through every step of the way. He messaged me because he knew that I had this going on this evening, and he said that I would rock it and that I'd do great, and I was going to say, he's another person that's just always over in my corner. He's my cheerleader.
Awesome. And then you have your service dog in training, right?
Yes. For Minnie, I got her when she was 2. I've had her for 5 years, and so she's getting a little bit older. Not that she's old, but she's enjoying work a little bit less, and so we got a golden retriever puppy last year, and I went and did temperament tests and all of that. I was going to say, and Ella, I was going to say, she's kind of another coping strategy. I got her essentially because I had to. I did not want another dog, but getting Ella, Minnie has taken another step back, and Ella is there for me anytime that I need her. I was going to say, she is phenomenal, and where I got to train her myself, there's nothing wrong with Minnie's training, but where I got to train her myself, she picks up on things that Minnie doesn't, where I've had her since she was a puppy. I was going to say, and she's made a really big difference, too. She doesn't work as much as Minnie, but at home, she's just, I was going to say, instead of just having one dog that wants to hog the bed, I have 2 that are always right there and ready to help however they can, especially for Ella. She is very, very in tune to her people.
Oh, wow. Well, that is awesome. I love that you have these dogs, and I'm sure that you've had some problems with probably going out into public because people, again, the ignorance, they don't understand why you have to have your service dogs. I'm sure you've experienced some problems in going outdoors.
Well, that's why I definitely don't suggest them to everybody. I know that everybody thinks that it would be fantastic to be able to bring their dog everywhere with them. But, I mean, Minnie comes to work with me. She gets two bathroom breaks, and everybody here is relatively nice about it. But you do have people that make snide comments about the dog or think that the dog has no place in the workplace. I actually went to a tattoo shop a couple months ago that I got denied access because I had a service dog. And same thing, a couple years ago, we were coming back from the beach, and we stopped at a hotel. And it was even pet-friendly, and where I refused to show her credentials, which is illegal to ask for, they completely denied us access. As well as, you know, of course, all the people that assume I'm blind or deaf are comical. But
Wow. Well, that's interesting. Well, I told you this hour goes by so quickly. We are at the end of our hour. We are like just a few more moments. So in those few more moments, I know that we have talked about so much tonight, and we've talked about your journey. You have really shown what we talk about right here on this platform. We always talk about going from victim to survivor to thriver, and you certainly have done that, and I love what you've done. I could just ask you if you could just share of if anything that we missed, is there anything that you are doing now that, you know, it's just, well, you're so doing so many phenomenal things anyway. You're working, you've gone to school, you've excelled in so many things in life. Is there anything that we missed that really can show that you, about your journey?
Not necessarily about mine, but something that I would like to say for anybody that's been through anything or that is going through anything, it does get better. And, I mean, you're referring to me as a thriver. It doesn't always feel like that. With trauma, it definitely, you have your days where I think that I'm doing phenomenal and that life couldn't be any better. But then there are other days that you just kind of want to throw in the towel and you wonder what you're doing with your life, because especially with school, you think that you should go to college and you should be at a certain place. I mean, I'm turning 21, and I haven't quite figured out what I'm doing yet. I mean, I'm getting there, but something that you always need to remember is that regardless of where you are, it doesn't matter where you are, because it will. There's always room to improve. You can always get better. As long as you are still here, you're doing more than enough.
Awesome. Thank you. Those were great words of wisdom. So I'm just going to leave you all with something. If a sibling is being abused, these are some of the things that you could probably see. The child avoids interaction with the sibling. The child fears being left alone with the sibling. Caitlin talked about that. The child doesn't want to be at or go home with that sibling. The child will act out in abuse in playtime. The child has unexplained bruises, scrapes, or other injuries after hanging out with that sibling. The child is overly compliant or withdraws when interacting with that sibling, or the child's relationship with the sibling is entirely negative. So these are just some of the things that we wanted to leave with you all. All of these things Caitlin did talk about. We just want to make sure that if there are any parents who are listening to this, that you will take these things into consideration and that you will, you know, be on the lookout for them. If anything happens or if you see anything that looks suspicious, if there is some sexual sibling abuse, these are some of the things that you can look for as well. There will be changes in eating habits. There could be some physical signs such as pain, sores, or redness of the genitals. There could be some mood changes, and just some other things with withdrawn or being too clingy. So, again, we just wanted to make sure that you have all of that information. We will talk about some of these things at a later date as well. This won't be the only time that we'll talk about it. And also we want to give you the National Domestic Violence Hotline number if you find that there is something going on. That is 1-800-799-7233. I'm just trying to make sure that I have everything here because this is so much to unpack. This was so much information because really, this is something that people just overlook, and we just want to make sure that we're taking care of all of our victims out there. Again, this was a very heavy topic. If this is something that you experienced and you have never talked to anyone about it, please get the help that you need. Please go see a therapist or anyone who you think you can trust enough to talk about it so that you can get better. It's not fun carrying trauma around with you and you have not unpacked it. So, again, thank you, Caitlin, for coming on tonight. We really appreciate you, and, you know, we salute you and all that you're doing now and wish you well in with your marriage, your upcoming marriage, and just all of the other things that you're doing and with your service dogs as well. And I really will keep you in our prayers, and we just so happy that you're out here speaking out against sibling abuse and bringing awareness about it. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. Again, I apologize that I kind of bounced all over the place there. But, again, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You were great. Don't worry about it. And shout out again, too, to your parents for being there for you. Any adult who has helped you along the way, we want to give them a huge hand clap. Your teachers, your clergy, parents, anybody who helped you, we really want to give them a nice shout out. And we thank you for that. I'm going to leave you guys with the final thoughts. And you know our final thoughts, we always talk about being kind to one another, and we want to always go a step further and say, be kind to yourself. Please don't ever forget that you are no longer a victim. You certainly are more than a survivor. You are a thriver. We talked about that tonight with this amazing thriver that we have with us tonight. And, you know, we are going to have another amazing guest next week because why? We always have amazing and outstanding guests every week. So make sure that you tune in for that. I want to thank everybody for coming to another amazing show. Without all of you thrivers, I would not be able to have this show. So I'm thankful to all of you, and I love you all. Before we get out of here, we certainly want to remind all of the thrivers out there, when you love yourself, you are healed. When you are healed, you are loved. Again, thank you. And y'all know we can't ever really leave the show without thanking our great producer, the best on this side of heaven, our own Kimmy Kim. We thank her for everything that she does. She's an amazing producer, and we love her. She's the visionary of Elation Family. She is the founder of Elation Family. That is the platform that we sit on. And with that platform, you know, we have the Elation Magazine. We have Elation Radio. We have Ashes to Beauty Clubhouse. I mean, we just got a lot going on. Y'all just got to stay tuned with us. Make sure you tune in also to the YouTube page of Speak Your Peace. Also, you will find this show also will be on Spotify. I can't ever remember all of them. I believe iTunes and podcasts and iHeartRadio, all of the major platforms, we're on them. And so you will also find Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle on all of that. And we just love you. You'll find some more great things from Elation, from the Elation family. We have lots of shows on there, lots of podcasts, so you'll find some things. So thank you. Again, we're going to go ahead and say goodnight. Caitlin, we love you. Thank you. And we just wish you the best.
Thank you very much.
All right, good night.
Pick your head up. Get up. It's only right. Take back your life. Pick your head up. Get up. Take back your life.